What a Mother's Day gift for you, right, Unsie? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, today we are blessed because we have five different speakers. We've gone through and asked a few people to share with us. So those of you who are speaking, please be mindful that there are five of you. So if each of you take 15 minutes, that's an hour and a half, approximately. An hour and 15, actually. But so if you take 10, that's 50. If you take 5, that's 25. If you take 2, that's 10. So it's up to you how long we're going to sit here. Actually, it's up to the last people how long we're going to sit here. But whatever you have to say, I know that God has placed it on your heart. So please do not feel a time restraint. And for those of you who do have time restraints, just move, be a little flexible today. Okay? So we have five, and I did it in alphabetical order in regards to their last name. That's the only reason. So I'm going to ask Art Atkinson to come up first. I hope they all remember, because it was Terrell that contacted them. I did not. So we'll just see. Hopefully they all remembered that they're speaking today. Yeah. Well, I hope you remembered before today.
Last night I remembered.
There you go. It is.
And I've been so blessed to have been raised that way. And I'm very, very thankful to my parents for that. So in thinking about this Mother's Day, when I say wife this morning, that means mother. Mother and wife to me are going to be the same thing. And so I was looking through the Bible the last while reading, and some thoughts came to me. When our God created man and woman, he breathed life into the man, and there you go. But I've been thinking about it, and when he created the woman, he took that bone out of her husband or her man. And I think he gave it a bit of thought. He didn't just breathe some life in it and say, there you go, now you're the woman. Because when I start thinking about wives and mothers, a lot of thought, I think, went in before he blew the breath of life into her. So I've got a couple of things to say about that, thinking about it. The first one is, it says, God had said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And Adam had no suitable helper. So the Lord caused man to fall into a deep sleep while he was sleeping, took out the man's rib and closed up the place and flesh, and he made a woman from the rib. And that's when I think he was doing a little more thinking than just made the woman. Because earlier on in the chapter 1, it says, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. But at the same time, I believe he included the woman that he made. Because if he wouldn't have put the seed of life into the woman, where would we be? I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. It would have been Adam and Eve. And when they got, I guess, too old to eat or live or whatever, it would be over and he might have to start all over again. But he didn't. He put the seeds into the mother, into the woman. And therefore, we go on generation after generation after generation. So there's more to a mother than what a lot of people actually think about. First off, they give life to all the sons and daughters. And I might add at this time, the mothers, like was told this morning, when it comes to their children, they're very special to them. But I have kind of a funny little thought in my mind. At our house, when people that would ask my mom and dad, oh, you have children? Yeah, we have son Arthur and two girls. that was it. And I thought, gee, that's kind of strange. Them them girls kind of left out a little bit here. But the sun did rise and set on her son, Arthur, and she was half blind most of my life because she definitely couldn't see the bad things I was doing. So I'm thankful for that anyway. She was a really, really good mom. Another thing that I believe God instilled in the mothers, especially at our place anyway, when it comes to the finances, the man is usually the breadwinner and bring in the money and keep things going. But I recall many, many times when my dad would say, Nellie, what do you think about this? Or what do you think we should buy that? Or should we do this? Or should we do something else? And she would think about it a minute and then give him her advice. So I believe a lot of times the mothers are not only just mothers, they're advice givers and planners and handle the money thing. If you look into a lot of families, it's the wife that does all the books, which men kind of hate books, most of them. I in our place, my wife hates books too, but it is true. A lot of the mothers are the bookkeepers and the planners and so on. So I think today is Mother's Day, but I would like to think that every morning should be Mother's Day. Give a little prayer for your mom and just appreciate them, because they're far more than just mothers. They're healers, helpers, cooks, you name it, they do it all. And they're not weaklings, they're strong. So thank you.
Thank you, Art. Yes, they are. I like how the King James put it, they're a helpmate. And it's a helper, not just mate, but helpmate. There's a joint effort for everything there. So thank you, Art, for that. Now I'm going to ask our sound man to come down and relieve his post to, well, the air, apparently. So this is Jay Dorian. If you don't know him, then you get to know him. This is an amazing man. Yeah.
Thanks, Corey. Hello. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Okay, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Today on Mother's Day, I take a minute to think of my mother in Nova Scotia right now, my mother-in-law, Darlene, she's in the back, and of course, my wife. Also want to look around the room and acknowledge the mothers here today and online, all of you. We often speak about the unconditional love that mothers have for their children, including, very close to me, mothers that have the same love and sense of nurturing for children that may not be their own, but nonetheless treat them and care for them as such. Sharma, could you please bring up, thank you. So, I wanted to bring up Second Kings, please. Is it? Oh, glasses aren't that great. Okay, where was I? Okay, in Second Kings chapter 4, we learn about a certain woman. Okay, this certain woman, she was a wife of a servant of Elisha, who had been since had passed. So Elisha was a prophet mentored by Elijah. And God granted Elisha the power and authority to carry out miracles on his behalf. Kind of similar to a conduit. So I looked up, I'll have to take a page out of Corey's book and maybe try a bad joke right now. So... Yeah, sure. A dad joke. Sorry. So, in addition to looking in the Bible for my references, I also picked up the dinosaur book. In other words, the thesaurus. Okay. Tough crowd today. Yeah. So, as I was mentioning, so Elisha was carrying out these miracles on behalf of God as a conduit for God's power and authority. So in the thesaurus, the other words for conduit I picked up were channel, an instrument, or representative. And the last I finally chose was vessel. And the reason I chose vessel, because it kind of fits as we go on a little bit. So this certain woman at this time was struggling to raise two sons. And imagine in ancient Israel without a husband alive. It's probably a pretty difficult thing to do. Not that easy. This certain woman, absolutely poor, tired from the weight of responsibility and afraid of creditors. See, these creditors came to collect on an old debt, and the creditors were actually coming to take her sons away, to use them as slaves and for that debt. Today, raising children is a struggle as well. Strip away all the modern conveniences and you still have modern problems. So a lot of the struggles, whether it was back in ancient Israel or today, are kind of still the same with mothers. So in 2 Kings 4:2, you can see that Elisha said, "What shall I do for you?" One thing I picked up out of that quick sentence was the fact that Elisha said "shall." I've seen numerous references of the words should, shall, and may, and how they mean different things. In this instance, this tells me that Elisha shall do something. All she has to do, this widow has to do, is ask, because Elisha will do this, what she asks on behalf of God. And the widow replies, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." And I want to highlight the word nothing. So I looked up a study Bible that I own, and it says this jar was really a small flask, maybe a cup's worth of oil. Certainly a small amount, not hugely valuable, because it was meant for anointing, not so much for food or fuel, just because of the small amount. So this, to me, this is a direct comparison to all you mothers. Not so much of creditors coming to take away your children to pay your debts, but also with the weight of providing for your family, providing emotional stability for your family and guidance in these times. And the weight of that responsibility can be overwhelming, but God sees your struggles and notes them. So the maidservant says she has nothing. As I mentioned, very poor. So Elisha tells her to borrow as many empty vessels as possible from her neighbors and her companions and those around her. Not just one or two, but get what you can. When you're finished gathering, close the door behind you and your sons, and take your flask of oil and pour it into the vessels that you have borrowed. After this occurred, the oil only stopped flowing after all the vessels had been used. In other words, God would have kept that oil flowing until everything was filled. Can you imagine? So we see outside those, quite often, those 1,000-liter totes and 55-gallon drums. Can you imagine if those two containers would have existed back then? God would have continued filling all those containers until that widow had absolutely nothing else to put it in. So the amount of oil that God provided through Elisha was able to, she was able to take that oil, sell it, and support her and her sons. I'd like to conclude by saying that I'd like to draw a parallel between mothers and the prophet Elisha. As a vessel, again, of God's grace, power, and mercy, and compassion, as they pass those qualities through to their children. In essence, you can be sure that what God provides will be more than enough that is required. It may not be unnecessarily excessive, but God does know what you need and will provide in abundance. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Jay. That reminded me of a song, of course. And now it just left me. So that doesn't help. That's the one. But now I can't remember the, yeah. Anyhow, I was going to sing, but now I can't because I cannot remember the words. Oh, well. No, well, it doesn't matter. Thank you, Jay. That was very good. I do like your dad joke. I don't know if everyone caught it, though, the dinosaur, the thesaurus. Yeah. Anyhow, next we're going to have someone. I have to just tell you this, you know, many years ago, throughout the time of that I've been here, so I've been here 18 and a half years, done lots and lots of funerals, and there was quite a few of those that I would run into Mike McGilvery, and he would say to me right from the get-go, he would say to me, one of these days I'm going to show up at your church. And I would always say to him, you are welcome at any time. I said, and if you decide not to come, it's not a big deal. I said, but you are welcome at any time. And then a few years ago, all of a sudden, in a January service, colder than anything, and he was probably still wearing shorts, but he walked through the doors. And he said to me that he didn't know what was going to happen. He thought that the church would probably blow up because he actually walked through the doors. And since then, I can tell you from personal experience, this man has seen tremendous growth in the Lord. His desire for the word, he comes in quite regularly and we chat. And I just want to give honor to Mike as he comes and speaks. And I saw how many papers he has, so buckle in. Here we go.
Good morning, everybody. Since Art said he came from a religious background and he was blessed being in part of a church group and his family, I come from the total opposite, where religion and God was not quite readily available, as what we like to say. My mom was probably the saint in our group. She never drank, she never touched. So this story I'm going to tell about my mother is why I am the way I am. All right. My name is Mike McGilvery. I'd like to say what mothers mean to me today. First, allow me to say a little prayer and bless this reading. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day to celebrate mothers. May your light shine through us all to become a prism to spread your word of truth. Through love and forgiveness, Lord Father, as I tell my story of what Mother's Day means to me, please give me the strength to speak the words of wisdom and knowledge through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mothers, mama, or what I used to say, call my mom, was Buddy. I don't have much time to speak on what moms mean to me, so I better get to it really fast since we don't want to be here all day. I'm a youngest of nine. My sister Carrie, the eldest, Clarence, Gail, Janet, Tucker, Peter, Jennifer, Steven, of course, her baby, Michael. She used to call me Mooney. That's my nickname. My mom was a person of great patience, love, understanding, forgiveness, and with so many children, you would have to be. Marjorie was the first to teach me about the power of prayer, and I'm going to say in Matthew 21:22. And all things, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. God led me to this verse because when I was 2 years old, I had a terrible accident and fell into a tub of boiling water, which I ended up in a hospital in the burn unit in Royal Alexander for a year. I was not expected to walk again, is what my mom was told. It's just my mom did not believe what those words were when we arrived back home in Paddle Prairie, where resources were limited to my, when my mom back told me, it was just my mom believed words when we arrived back home in Paddle, resources were limited to my recovery. My mom would have sleepless nights making sure that I would not scratch my legs because the burns would not heal. She would tap my legs mostly all night long then bandaged my dressings with a clean cloth. Then my mom took me to church and asked the pastor to pray over me to walk. My mom believed. Fast forward to the years later, in a time of chaos when darkness was in our family's lives, my dad was lost in pain and suffering, so he turned to alcohol. I remember my mom having dressed us up with boots on when dad would be out drinking. Then, when she would see headlights pulling up to the house, she would take us out the back door of the house, run to the barnyard, and hide. I remember Dad yelling out for us, and I remember the feeling of terror as he got closer. But then something would happen. My mom would tell us to stay hidden, and it would be all right. She would walk towards my. He would. Thank you. My mom would walk, tell us to stay hidden, sorry, and it would be all right. She would walk out to the yelling of my dad and hid as we hid. Sounds of the abuse towards my mom echoed in my head. Sacrifice my mom demonstrated in this, and now that I've been studying his word, I understand better what she did and why she did it. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Mom. Now we will get to my favorite part. My mom would clean the house, cook, and do chores around the farm. I watched as no one helped her, and she never asked for help. Just keep on doing all what moms did. She did lead by example because when I got old enough, I would help her in any way I could. Lots of times I would stay up late with her by that 10 o'clock on a school night and go help her milk the cows, pack four pails of ice cream, of milk to the house, strain the milk with tea towels, and then I would tell her I will do the dishes to give her a break. She would make tea and play solitaire. She would talk. I learned so much on how to listen. So when something is troubling me to this day, doing dishes gives me peace. Takes me to the happier times with my mom. This is where she told me about when she had a preacher pray over me to walk again. Then she proceeded to tell me the same preacher that prophesied over me told her that she saw me walking again and leading a group to a better place in his kingdom. Who would have thought that possible? My mom did this because she believed in God's words. As I hit my rebel years, I found the darkness and alcohol, and this spirit was heavily burdened over our family. My mom would never judge us or say anything bad about her family being lost in this world. She would just say she always prayed, and one day we would see the light. She did have faith, and it would happen. Well, sometimes we think that our loved ones will always be here on this earth, but God has other plans. My mom got sick, and when she told me she had an incurable disease, I went numb. I was living in Manning at the time and did not deal with the news, so I avoided the whole idea that this was happening. Sure, I'd go visit, not realizing that this may be the last visit and she will always be there, and realizing that she will not be going to be on this earth much longer. Except for the one last visit I had with my mom, was tough, and I never cried but being sick about her being sick, and neither did I. But God in control, he said, it's time to grieve in front of each other. As I was giving her a bear hugs goodbye, she rubbed my back, and I heard her say, I cannot feel my hands rubbing your back. Well, we lost it in tears together. I felt a little child being held by a mom who would take of me and always be there. It was not long after that God came and took her home. I would like to turn your attention to my wife, Serena. I am blessed to have such a loving wife and a great mother to our children. I believe that God gives us what we need in our lives, and I did not know what I needed, so he placed her in my life. I see the comparisons with my mom, Marjorie, and Lorena, Margaret. Marjorie and Margaret. Just a thought. This lady will do anything for her family, friends, and her husband. The sacrifices she has done for her family is truly a true testament of the love she has given. Late phone calls from her children, even ones we have adopted over the years through the coaching. She gives her heart to everyone who comes into her life. Okay, I may not be her biggest priority in her life right now, but it's because of her motherly instincts have took over, and she wants to make sure her sons are all right and going on the right path. I love my wife and mother of our children, in which God tells a story of Rebecca, who was asked by Abraham's servant for a drink of water, but she did not go not only get him a drink, she volunteered to water his camels. And she goes above what you ask, and she has a great heart of God. Sometimes we pray for our loved ones to come to God. In Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mothers, you may not agree with the path your children are on, but with the power of prayer and having faith in our Lord Savior, he does hear your prayer. In Psalms 46:5, God is within her, she will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. A woman who trusts in God never gives up. She may need a cup of coffee, a good cry, or even a day in bed, but she will always rise up strong. If you don't believe me, please take a look at me, for my mom's prayers have been answered because she believed and had faith in God's promise, which is in Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. My mom never got a chance to see her baby make this change on earth, but our Father in heaven showed her once she arrived at the gates of heaven, in his time, he will answer in his time. So mothers, keep praying. He does hear. I would like to close my words with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wisdom and guidance in your words. I thank you, Lord, for walking me into the church and start my journey that my mom prayed for. Lord, thank you for all the moms that have faith, knowing the power of their prayer. Keep everyone here today and always in your light and lead them by example in your glory and truth. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Romans 8:28 says that for with God all things work together for good for those who love God. And Mike is a living testimony of that. So thank you. Next we have Gordon Nelson. Former elder of the church, and I still look to him. We have the occasional conversation, and he guides me. He'll show me scriptures, and we'll talk about them. We read books he'll tell me books and new authors, and so it's like this guy. He reads, and he directs me to podcasts. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but I've started because of this man. So, Gordon, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Well, my background, as far as mothers are concerned, is that I spent a lot of time away from my mother. Because I went, I'm one of these residential kids. And I'd go to school for 3 months and then come home for approximately a month and then back to school for a month. And that was most of my schooling. But when I think of mother, I think of love. And love can be expressed in many, many ways. And as I thought of love and the way that it can be expressed, several things came to my mind. One is comfort. And when you're loved, you receive comfort. Time spent together. Bedtime stories. In our family, like my family, bedtime stories were a big deal that the kids always looked forward to. And even though Kathy would have a full-time job and busy, she didn't miss the bedtime stories. And she read with lots of emotion. And I can remember traveling down to Victoria, Vancouver. And then we went on a holiday down through the States and back up. And throughout that whole trip, hours were spent every day, all the way through. And she would read us stories. And she read adult-sized books like that. Detective stories, this kind of story, that kind of story. And as a result of that, our kids developed a love of reading. And that's a very important thing in life. And all of our kids are great readers. I remember I was kind of surprised when my daughter Anita was out doing tree planting or cooking for the camp. I found the book that she was reading, and it was Confessions of Saint Augustine. That's not what the other people were reading. But she developed a hunger for that kind of thing from her mother. And then also thinking of mothers, I think a shelter in the time of storm. And that's what you were talking about too. It involves listening. It involves really, really listening, really tuning into the kids. Giving them time. It may be a long story they have. It may be a whole bunch of short ones. But whenever they had a story, she tuned in. That developed a safe place for the kids because they knew that they could have a real ear that would listen to them. And it was an encouragement to them too. All of us go through times where we need encouragement. And kids that grow up without encouragement just don't bother me. I'm busy. Come back later, and when you come back later, she's still busy. And you get the feeling that it's not just busyness, she doesn't care. And so children that are unfortunate to grow up in a situation like that, the lack of encouragement has a great effect upon their lives. And that's a big part for mothers to play, is encouragement. And then prayer time. They had stories at night, but they also had prayer time. And that was very good and a very rich thing in their lives. And she passed on life skills. Gardening. Even though they hated to go out and find that whole big patch after coming home from holidays, 2 weeks gone, 3 weeks gone, come back and the garden is just overgrown with weeds. Guess what we're going to be doing for the next long time? Weeding. And both of my girls still really have developed a love of gardening. My oldest girl, seems like wherever she lives, she's got fruit trees growing in her yard. And then if you're gardening, you learn how to can. Lots of canning. Lots and lots and lots of jars full of fruit, vegetables, what have you. And even today, in this modern world, they both can. To the surprise of many people. And when my daughter was doing home care for some time, and she would go and she'd be in their homes, chatting with the wives, usually the mothers. And then they would discover that you can. They were so surprised. And then the skill of relating to other mothers. Because my wife, the mother in our family, she was a public health nurse. That was her job. And in those days, when a woman had a baby, the public health nurse came to your house, probably came to yours. And a number of you here had visits from her when you had a baby. And during those times, there was lots of times for meaningful conversations. And like I say, she was a good listener. And they really appreciated that. She also modeled. She modeled a good attitude. And she would say, you know, in your life, it's very important that you develop a positive attitude. Because that'll carry you through a lot of things. And she modeled that for us. She modeled child discipline. But even though it brought tears to the kids, they always knew that it was done with love. Even though it was hard, it was done with love. And a work ethic. She had a tremendous work ethic and passed that on to the kids. Thoughtfulness. She had eyes to see what other families needed. And that would get her to bake a pie and go and introduce herself. And you don't know how to make a pie? Come to my house, I'll teach you. And she still has friends now that are in there, well, their kids are in just about high school. She taught that mother how to make pies. That mother used to sit in church here, and Kathy noticed that she would be alone because her husband would be out working And he was a Christian man, but his job called him out lots. So she saw that she was lonely. And so she said, come on over. I'll teach you how to bake. I'll teach you how to make a pie. Still friends today. And she modeled thoughtfulness like that in many, many different ways. And generosity. When she saw through her work, some people were struggling, having a very hard time, she would slip them some money. Much, much appreciated. She also took care of her relationship with all three members of the Trinity. That was important to her. She nourished herself with contemplative reading of Scripture and contemplative prayer. And as a result of a lifetime of that, she had something to give to others because of the way she'd been nourishing herself. And that really impacted our family, it really impacted our kids, and it really impacted me. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. Next, Len Scamhorn is going to come up. And Len, one of the things that he taught me is that you don't let the facts distract you from a good story. Yeah, that's one thing that, it's his saying, not mine. So it's one of those things. But Len, I do appreciate our friendship and everything. He's the man who first told me, hey, why don't you come up here and help us out. So Len, bless you. And here you go.
Take your time. You know what? It's so hard for me to write stuff out. When I first met Eunice, and she'd write a letter, and there'd be piles of letters, and I'd read this pages and pages, and I'd go to write a letter, and it's like, man, if I got one side of a paper, that was a lot. And it took a long time, and probably was nothing in it, you know. But anyway, that's the way it was. I remember one time we had a pastor, a visiting minister at the church up there in the hill, and he was an old guy. And he said, you know, I miss my wife so much. I sat down today and I wrote her a letter. That thing is so sticky, she'll probably never get it open. I thought, that's a cool guy, man. I want to be like that guy. Yeah, that was really good. My mom... I'm going to talk about my mom, but I just want to give honor to my wife. She's a wonderful lady, and I was thinking about her because it's Mother's Day, and I think, you know, when you go to when you acquire something and you get a really good deal on it, you go home and you look at that. That's awesome, man! I got a good deal on that. Well, you know, that's what I got when I got her. Now, it's maybe not so much the other way, you know. She probably should have shopped around. She's not an impulsive person, but anyway. But I really appreciate her, and we have a lot of fun together, and now that I'm retired, we drink a lot of tea and we visit an awful lot. And I just appreciate her so much, and she's been such a good mom to our children, and she sacrifices so much. So she's not here; she's looking after some grandkids today. So I just she's watching. Thank you, Eunice. I love you a lot. My mom was born in Duluth, Minnesota. And Grandma had scarlet fever, so she went to the hospital, and she was expecting then, and she had a preemie, and so that was Mom. She was very little, and they didn't realize till after that she was deaf, like deaf. So her life, she was deaf. So we were raised with a mom that was deaf, and that was very interesting. And as you look at this, you see that adversity on the outside builds up character on the inside. And she had a lot of character. She was just a wonderful lady. She was so kind, and she had a good attitude. I don't want to miss that. She just always was very positive, and when she was 13, they had moved to Grand Prairie, just outside of Grand Prairie in Besançon, and she went to deaf school when she was 13. And the only deaf school at that time, actually, was in Winnipeg. And so that was built in 1889. I think they built the one in Edmonton in 1956. So if you were deaf and you want to go to the school for the deaf, you had to go to Winnipeg. So Grandpa went with her the first time, and she always told us she had a horse named Smokey, and she had to sell that horse that they had to so she could go to deaf school. And she loved that horse, and she rode it a lot. And she, you know, when she was older, she still talked about that horse. She really liked that horse. She never rode horse at home, but anyway. So she went to deaf school, and she could only go for about 6 years because she was too old then, because there were so many people come there. You know, they had to make room, and so she only had limited time there. But mom's thing, she could talk. So we never learned sign language at home. We just learned it on our hands. So if there was a word that she read our lips really well, and if there was a word that she didn't understand, you just wrote it on your hand. So it worked good in church and that kind of thing. But anyway, I think Bill and I learned, this was our extent of our sign language, you know, the actual sign language, hungry. We got that. We got that down good. Yeah. And so we had a lot of fun with Mom. She was just a great gal. God looked after her. God really looked after her. And her traveling back and forth on the train, I think Grandpa went with her the first time, but I never heard any more stories that he ever went again with her. So you take a little kid or a little girl, you know, fathers want to protect. So she would ride this by herself. And so God looked after her. She had two deaf friends from school, and they rode each other faithfully till they passed away. And it was really interesting. And because one of them moved back to Manning, and she used to come to church. So when deaf people get together, they visit, because, you know, you don't hear conversations, and their conversations are limited because there's no, that doesn't happen. It's like, it's point blank, and it's to the point. But them two ladies had a good sense of humor. So in church, it was at times a little distracting. And so I remember one time the pastor came to me, he says, yeah, I really hate to do this, but could you talk to your mom about maybe not trying to keep it down? I said, is it bothering some people behind her? Yeah. I said, you know what? Tell them to move. Because nobody talks to them. If they haven't gone to talk to those two ladies in the week, just tell them to move, because they're not going to move and they're not going to stop talking. And they never heard the sermon for two reasons. Number one, they were so busy talking. They couldn't hear it to begin with, but then they were so busy talking they didn't get it anyway. So, they enjoyed each other's company, and it was a good time for both of them. Communication was very valued with deaf people. And when they get together, they just lock into each other's company. Charlie had a sister that was deaf, and so when she come up, they would get together and visit, and it was really nice to see. And this is a funny story. I remember one time there were some of them that came to our place, and there was one old guy. He's probably my age now. I don't know. This is back when I was young. But anyway, these ladies were having a conversation, and it was going. They really get to talking, and that guy couldn't get a hand in edgewise. Man, there was no way he could get in on that conversation. It was really funny watching them. And growing up with mom and dad, they would have discussions. And if they got a little serious, it was really funny. This is what happened. He would tell her something that was going on, and then she would look at it for a while. And then if she didn't like it, she just would tell him point blank. She would just give it to him. And then he would go to reply, and she says, you know what? I'm deaf. I can't hear you anyway. And she'd turn around and walk away. Never lost an argument. Never. Never. Won them all. He would get pretty frustrated, but it was, yeah. You know, she couldn't hear alarm clock. And I don't know why we never had alarm clock, but we would ask mom to wake us up. So she took her wristwatch and put it in her hand, and she would sleep and look at that clock. And, you know, there was very few times that she slept in. And I got thinking about that after, what kind of sleep did she have waking up looking at that clock? Because these lazy kids don't have an alarm clock. They have ears they could hear, you know, one ring, but that's just the way it went around our house. She didn't mind. She had something to give her something to do, I guess. She's just a wonderful lady. One time, Bill and I climbed into the back of a truck box, and you can get into, this is a grain truck. You can get in there, but when you get in that box, the sides are like this. They're smooth. Well, there's no getting out, and she couldn't find us, and she thought at one point we had fallen in the dugout. And it's kind of funny, but it's not. It's very serious for her, and this is what she had to deal with. So she's walking around the yard. We could hear her. We're hollering. She can't hear us. And my father told us about this. He said, you know, that woman was very distraught by the time we found where you guys were. But that's just kind of a thing that you would not take for granted. You would take for granted, but you just don't know, right? So, you know, it was kind of tough for her. I wondered how she, I'm sorry. She liked singing. She loved to see people sing, and she couldn't hear the music, but she could feel the rhythm. And so she could do the Charleston, like, you know, and she was good at it. I guess she must have learned this at home. So when Dad was gone, only when Dad was gone, she would want to, you know, say, Mom, you want to dance? Yeah. So I'd turn my electric guitar up loud so she could feel it on the floor, and she'd just do the Charleston until she was tired. We had a lot of fun with her. She was just a great gal. I wondered how she dealt with things, because she didn't have people close to her to talk to. But she always read Psalms. She always read the Psalms. And, you know, I don't know when my mom got saved, but she was a believer all my life. So at some point she come to know the Lord, but her family didn't. And I think Grandma got saved. They had a pastor in Besançon, and she got saved just before she passed away. But I remember talking to Grandpa, and he had cancer, and he was on his way out. So I went to see him, and I asked him about the Lord, and he said to me, Sonny, don't bother me with that stuff. And he had no... That was a sad thing. Anyway, so how did she deal with difficulties? And she would read a Psalms, and it was a Psalms like this. I'm going to read one for you. Psalms 122. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade in your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. And down in chapter 24, it says, if it had not been for the Lord who is on our side. That's, you know, and she took those promises like she couldn't really understand, you know, anything that was too doctrinal, because it just wasn't. They didn't have she couldn't do it, but she found solace in the Psalms, and she applied them to her life, and she loved the Lord, and she loved people, and she was a great inspiration, and I thank her for that. And if I have enough time for 2 minutes, I'm going to sing you a song, because it reminds me of my mom. Okay? No, I was wondering, Jennifer, can you come play? No, I'm kidding you. Shut this off somehow?
Yeah.
This has been a long time here, so bear with me. Depths of
fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful place, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away.
Thank you, Len. You know, I've known Leonard for approximately 28 years was the time I first met him, and that's the first time I've heard him play piano. Thank you. I'm touched, really. Very touched. I was in tears while you were playing. That's one of my favorite hymns of the 300 favorite hymns I have. But an excellent wife who can find. For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. And portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, and for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, or call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Lord, bless all the mothers here, and especially, Lord, those that fear the Lord." And we praise the mothers today. And we thank you, Lord, for them. May you be with us through this week and through this entire season that we have. May we always rise and call our mothers blessed. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. And we will see you next week, same time, same place.